Like to turn with me in your scripture. It'll also be on the screen. It comes from Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 24 and going through verse 28. Acts 17, 24 through 28. Lord, this time has been bathed in prayer by so many people at different times and different ways, and I thank you for those prayer warriors who recognize the importance of this time and that we are intentional about recognizing you, your spirit, and that your spirit just has its way in this place. And in order to do that, we have to give ourselves to you. So I reiterate right now that I desire to give myself to be used fully by you and pray that each of us here will be open to receive whatever it is you have to give, but also to continue to worship and just give, even in the midst of the message, to be willing to be open to recognize how you want us to give back to you as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you haven't been with us, we've started an Easter sermon series. Last week was our first one, and we actually looked at a message that began in Genesis and recognized that there was a message there that carries throughout the scripture all the way to the resurrection and beyond. Today, we're looking at Acts, and the title of the message is Easter is Coming, and we talk about sharing our light. If you would, follow along with me in Acts chapter 17. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. How many of you would agree with me that in some capacity, in some way, the world is a dark place? I believe this is so. Many people don't realize the darkness because they have never known the light. It is not our place to judge those living in darkness, for all of us ourselves have lived in darkness. If we are no longer in darkness, it isn't because of anything we've done or how good we are, but because we have been rescued from the darkness by God through Jesus Christ. And when I talk about darkness, I'm not necessarily talking about evil, although evil would be a part of it. I'm talking about darkness as being a place that is just not a good place to be. I'm not even talking about darkness as just in darkness like it would be sleeping at night. I actually prefer to sleep in the darkness. I sleep better. When I'm talking about dark, I'm talking about something that goes beyond this. It's an essence of what we experience in life. And that's the darkness that I'm talking about. Easter is an occasion, a time on the calendar when much of the world, and perhaps, think about it, specific individuals in our families, in our workplace, and our community are more open to the light than there may be at other times. And I don't want you to respond to me, but I want you to think about that for a moment. Are there people who are struggling? Are there people who their life would be characterized by some degree of darkness, that you think maybe, just maybe in the next few weeks, as Easter happens, as spring comes, as people start wearing brighter colors, as we talk about an Easter egg hunt and the other things that are going to be happening here, is it possible that they might be more open to a message of light? John 1, verses 4 and 5 says, "In him was life, that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And then a few chapters over in John as well, John 8, chapter 8, verse 12 says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Now I'm going to repeat myself a little bit. Easter is coming. It's something to be excited about. We're having an Easter egg hunt on March 28th. Some of you likely purchased new Easter outfits yesterday or will do so in the next week or so. We'll have an Easter sunrise service at 6:45. First time we've ever done that. Sunrise is at 6:47. Unless you're late, you're going to see the sunrise, or if it's cloudy. That'll be Easter morning at Oak Ridge. Woodland will likely be full on Easter Sunday as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday with the flowering of the cross. All this is exciting, but we would not be doing any of it were it not something we believed God desires us to do. But we must not get so focused on what we are doing that we forget why we're doing it. Our primary goal as we move toward Easter is to, listen, our primary goal is to celebrate the life-giving power of the resurrection in our lives and share the message that there is an opportunity, light in the darkness, that we can share. Are we prepared to do that? Are you prepared? Are you ready to celebrate the life-giving power in your life and also to acknowledge and share that light with others? Remember, they have that darkness. And at least in some moment, for a reason they may not know, I believe they may be more open. Are we willing to go there? Or is Easter just another day on the religious calendar that we check off and move on? Well, let me share something that happened in the last day or two. We had an issue at our house in the past 2 days. One of our televisions would not work. Being the man of the house, why did you laugh? I put on my technician cap, pulled from the reservoir of my diagnostic ability, and I went to work. After navigating several menus on the TV, I pinpointed the problem. The wireless receiver was not communicating with the main receiver because it was not connected to the internet. I went through the steps on the TV more than once, just knowing I was going to win the accolades of my family and have one of my do-it-yourself manly awards checked off for the year. But finally, I had to give up and call Dish and ask what sounded like a young girl named Sunday on the other end for help. After asking me for whatever codes were on the screen, she asked me to go back to the main source, look for an access point, which was a small box standing vertically on the shelf beside the receiver. She asked me how many lights I saw on the box. There were none. You guessed it. The access point was unplugged. Thankfully, but embarrassingly, it was Sunday who saved the day. I was in the right place, trying my best to do the right thing. I was genuinely focused on the issue. I was following the instructions, but none of that mattered if I wasn't plugged in at the access point. The same is true for our spiritual life. We can do all the right religious things, but if God isn't the source of our power, it's not going to work. Go back and look at the beginning of that scripture we just read in Acts. It says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands." He doesn't live in this church, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, God gives everyone life, breath, and everything else. So I ask you the question, are you plugged in? Are you seeking God, or are you going through the motions, playing church, and trying to make things work without really being connected to the source, which has all the power to accomplish everything you were created to do? Perhaps you really are seeking God, and you desire Him to make your life different. You're doing your best to get plugged in. You know that that's what you need to do, but it's just not clicking. You still feel you're being swallowed up by the darkness. Perhaps you haven't made the step of turning the light switch on. In spiritual terms, this would mean connecting to Jesus. In John 14, verse 6, it says this, "Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well." There is a role of God the Father, and we can't fully connect to God without going through Jesus Christ. It's part of the Easter message. This is where the Easter story becomes crucial. You may be reading and studying about God. You may be sitting in church in hopes of being more Christian-like. But let me tell you this, coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a carport makes you a car. You get that? Coming and sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a carport makes you a car. Now, I would hope that if you see fit and someone invites you here for whatever reason you come, that there is something that happens in the midst of being here and you experience God and that happens and you grow and so something does change then. But if all you're doing is coming and sitting and that's doing your duty and then you leave and go back, that's not making you a Christian. Just because someone comes to church doesn't mean they're Christian. It's got to be a different type of change. And I think, unfortunately, sometimes churches won't say that. And they won't say this, but I fear that in some churches, it's actually more important to them to fill up their pews than it is to fill up the kingdom. And that's sad. And I want us to be open and honest and hear what God has to say so that we become a part of truly sharing the light. You might remember Jesus going to his usual place at the Mount of Olives and asking the Father, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." We're about to head to the cross. Jesus knew the pain and the anguish that would come at the cross, but it was clear that this was the sacrifice necessary to connect humanity, God's beloved creation, with Him for an eternity. And the wonderful thing as we come to recognize it is it doesn't just happen when we leave this earth and go to be with God in heaven, but it begins immediately when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. We receive that light. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So now we know the importance of plugging into God as a source of light. We know Jesus is the way to get turned on, to experience, to really know God personally. If you have not taken that step to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you will have that opportunity later today. But God does not leave us there. There is more. All too often, believers try to move on without claiming the gift, the power in here, and the here and now given to each believer. Hear this. It's important. It's a game changer. It really takes that darkness and just dispels it. If you love me, keep my commands. This is Jesus. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. In some places it says helper or comforter, to help you and be with you forever. Jesus is telling us, he's giving us someone to be with us, an advocate, someone who's going to help you, someone who's going to comfort you. The Spirit of the truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. Why do you know him? Because if you are a believer, he lives with you and will be in you. You are given a gift. You are given an advocate. You are given a comforter. You are given a helper. We also know that as being the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it sounds so mysterious. But I want to try to take away some of that mystery today and help us to really recognize it. The Holy Spirit inspires, guides, and interprets God's plan through our lives. Recognizing the Holy Spirit in your life and claiming it is important. It's what you have to do to be able to fully embrace and live the way God enables us to. Not when we get to heaven, but in the here and now. Hear this. Recognizing the Holy Spirit, because it's there. Scripture says if you are a believer, the Holy Spirit is in you. Here's how you know. Chris, I thought of you when I read this first one today. As I read this first one. You're changed on the inside. Your love for others is different and deeper. That is God loving others through you via the Holy Spirit. There is joy. There is peace in your life that is not based on your situation. It is in your soul. And Chris, I've seen that change in you since we had those conversations. And you were seeking God. You were plugging in. And I recognize the Holy Spirit in you. And I'll say this to Chris, but I mean it to everyone. Sometimes we don't recognize and know that's the Holy Spirit. Chris, I'm speaking directly to you in church right now and saying the Holy Spirit is in your life. It's not some mysterious thing like that, but you know it's there. But that's just the beginning. You're just beginning that relationship with the Holy Spirit, just like we talked about beginning a relationship with God. But that Holy Spirit wants to just take off through your life, and it'll be phenomenal. Here's some of the rest of what the Holy Spirit does. When we have the Holy Spirit, we recognize and know the difference in guilt and conviction. This is phenomenal. Listen, there are so many believers that walk around feeling guilty and in pain about the life they live, about the decisions they made, about the things they're doing. Guilt does not come from God. You can write it down. Guilt does not come from God. Because guilt, all it does is push you down and make you feel less of a person. Conviction does come through the Holy Spirit. When we're convicted, we recognize sin in our lives. We recognize there is something there that is not of God. We recognize there's something there God doesn't want in our life. But when we are convicted and the Holy Spirit is a part of it, we don't feel guilty and bad about ourselves. We say, we don't want any part of that. So God, help me go another direction. we can be thankful that we've recognized that sin. Instead of feeling guilty about it, we've recognized it because now we can say that we don't want any part of it. We can ask forgiveness, and it gets separated from our lives as far as the East is from the West. Conviction is a good thing. Guilt just makes you feel horrible. But the Holy Spirit brings us conviction, not guilt. That's another way we embrace and know that the Holy Spirit is present. There's also a yearning to know God's Word. And a lot of times we struggle, and as we begin, the Bible can be hard and difficult because we haven't gotten used to it. But as we get into the Scriptures, we recognize how God speaks to us through that Scripture. We want it. We crave it. And we seek it. Also, through the Holy Spirit, there's a desire to communicate with God. You feel a connection throughout your day. When Laura was going around and interviewing people, I recognized that there were several people that made the comment every day. To me, that's evidence that the Spirit is moving. And I don't believe they're doing it every day just because they're supposed to check it off a checklist. I believe they're doing it every day because there's something in them that yearns to do that every day. Now, hear me again. The Holy Spirit is not going to come around and make you feel guilty if you aren't doing that every day. But if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, you're saying, I wish I could be more that way. I had that. The Holy Spirit moves in such a way that it opens doors and enables that to happen, and you feel good about that, not feel bad that it hasn't happened. The Holy Spirit is amazing. It's an advocate. That means on our behalf. It goes to God. A counselor that helps us through our struggle. A helper when we need help. That's what the Holy Spirit is. Through the Holy Spirit, that increase in love that we talked about, that I was looking at Chris as I talked, through that increase in love you have for others, it changes the way you think. It changes the way you speak. It changes the way you act. And you have what might be considered a radical sense of forgiveness, compassion, and selflessness compared to who you were before the experience of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, and as they do, I'm going to share a story that, for those of you who are regular, won't be surprised because it's a jail story. And the Holy Spirit probably speaks to me as much at jail as it does anywhere else, which is pretty awesome. But I want to tell you that the reason I'm sharing this example is because a lot of times when you think of the Holy Spirit moving, it's some just magnificent, like unbelievable thing that God does that is a miracle and gives testimony for years to come. And those happen, but the Holy Spirit moves daily in very simple, practical ways. So I want to tell you about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit did to me, and I think to most of us at jail. See, we went on Wednesday like we usually do, and we get there, and we go in, and the guard's not there, so we can see the inmates, and they can see us, but we're waiting in the room for them. The guard's got to come in and let them out so they can come in where we are to start our Bible study. And it got to be about 5 or 10 after, which isn't too unusual because it's right at their lunchtime. But then it got to be about 15 after. We're getting a little antsy. It'll be about 20 after, and we're wondering what we're going to do. It actually got to be 1:30. We come in at 1, and we're supposed to leave at 2. And we're thinking, well, where is this going to go? What are we going to do now? If they do come in, we can't do what we're planning to do, and it got to be 20 till. And I had decided at quarter till we were just going to kind of call it. And I could feel some stuff going on inside of me. And we began having conversations. About that time, the guard comes in and they let some of the prisoners in. And a conversation starts, and it would have been really easy for us to say, what is wrong with this system? Didn't they know we were supposed to be here? They know how far we drove and what other things we could be doing right now. That's what was beginning to happen. But you know, as we began to talk and in the midst of the inmates, we what came up was, you know, we don't know exactly what happened. We don't know what was going on with the guard that didn't show up, and we don't know why. And you know what? It's probably not going to do anybody any good for us to get upset and place blame anywhere. And we can be thankful for the time that we have here. And that was what we shared with the inmates. And we processed that a little bit with the inmates. Because you know what? If when life happens that way, and we listen to God through the Holy Spirit, what do you think the time, the 20 minutes we had with the inmates was when we started that way compared to if we had gone to that place of whose fault was it that we got robbed of 40 minutes and wasted our time coming down here today? What's the difference in those two things? But I'm telling you, that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit moves in the midst of those moments, because I asked the inmates, I said, are we justified in getting upset? They said, yeah. And so in the world's terms, yes, we're justified in being upset, but that's not what the Holy Spirit calls us to do, because God wants something better for us than what the world wants. So as we move towards Easter, how are we embracing that? Are we plugged into God? Are we connected through Jesus Christ? And are we allowing the Holy Spirit to move? Because I can promise you, listen to me, to every person in here, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is moving in your life right now and wants to help make that connection. You have a time today. You don't have to make a decision. We can begin a conversation if you want to about who Jesus Christ is and how he wants to be a part of your life, and it will change your life forever. But for those who are believers, I can promise you, because I know God and I know the world we live in, there is someone that you will encounter, will have an opportunity to talk to between now and Easter, that God wants to use you, who you are, and how God works in your life to show a light to that other person. And yes, you can invite them to church. I would love for you to invite them and they come be here, but that's not what's important. And if you think that's going to be your out, I can tell you that don't impress me. Yes, invite friends and come to church. I want that. But more than that, I want you to be willing to share God with them. Because at this place, I claim, and I believe most people here believe, it's more important to grow the kingdom than it is to fill up the church on Easter Sunday. And most of the time that happens when we are real about who God is in our lives with someone, and it usually doesn't happen in a church on a Sunday morning. So as we continue to worship and we continue by singing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and honoring him in that way, but also being open to however he may be moving, the altar is open. I'm here to pray with anyone that would want to pray. We've had several people that's felt a call to become a part of this body, not because we're somebody special, but because it's a form of accountability and commitment that we come together as a body of Christ to help each other in growing and being who God wants us to be. If you have any desire to take that step, the church doors are open in that regard too. Come, and I'd love to have that conversation with you in the here and now. Respond as God would lead. Let's stand together.